You're listening to Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Welcome to Sleep Stories for Equestrians. I'm your host, Ashley Winch. We're so happy you're here to relax and unwind. If you fall asleep and miss the story, we will recap it at the beginning of the next episode. We've also selected and edited these stories for ultimate relaxation, removing any stressful bits without affecting the story's integrity, so you can focus on drifting off to sleep. With that, let's settle down and prepare for our story. The gates are closed. The horses sleep. The day's work done. The chores complete. Now let us rest, our bodies and minds. Drift off to sleep and close your eyes. It's time for us to turn down for the night. Now let's breathe in, breathe out, and turn off the light. One more time, breathe out, breathe in. Now let us begin. On tonight's reading of Sleep Stories for Equestrians, we conclude The Elf and Her Friends, a horse story founded on fact. Eros, too, promised to become even a finer horse and a swifter runner than my brother had been. And Lyric, with his mouth now quite healed and comfortable, was a most valuable creature and a great favorite with Master and all of us. More than once, I heard Colonel Saunders say, when on a visit to the park, that he was quite sorry he had been so hasty in parting with Lyric. But Lyric told me, in confidence, that he was most thankful he had come to live with dear Master, because he feared that the old colonel would have never found out what was causing the pain in his mouth, which had been hurting him for quite a long time. Oh yes, there was no doubting Lyric's evident joy that he had found a home at the park. A beautiful young creature called Kitty Gray now filled my mother's, Lady Beechwood's, old box, and my stable had its completed number of occupants. Clasper came at intervals to tell us about the different hound trails in which he had taken part, and he always forgot to mention how much of the time he managed to spend in Master's motor car. The dogs, who are now inseparable, often came to the stable and spent an hour or two with me. Golly had the same bad habit of pinching legs on the sly as Moses had, and I was very much alarmed for her safety, because she was not nearly so agile as she had been in getting out of the way when her victims kicked out. Minnie grew more and more exacting as her coat grew in beauty and thickness, and was still too proud to have anything to do with Tabby the kitchen cat. I saw less and less of my beautiful friend Invicta, for her master had taken to traveling a great deal and very seldom came to the park now. Betty, grown quite into a big girl now, though sweet and beautiful as ever, often came to the park, always on White Heather, her inseparable companion, whose early promise of beauty had not disappointed any of us. With Betty often, very often, came the lady she called Mother, riding on Folly, for Betty's father had bought the horse for his wife about the same time that Eros and Chanticleer had been sold. Folly looked much, much more contented than she had ever done in the old days, and little Betty or rather, Big Betty now, quaintly said to Ricketts when he remarked on this, that if Folly looked unhappy when she had a daughter like White Heather, it would be nearly as bad as if Mother wasn't pleased to have her, Betty, for her little girl. Betty strongly believed in the power of children to make their father and mother happy, and I think she was right, for even I have noticed the light in which the appearance of child will bring into the eyes of a grown-up human. It's a beautiful light, and I love to see it. And I feel something like it coming into my own face when the children are about, for I love them, and they love me. And I never hurt them, and they are always kind and gentle to me. There is just one more thing I want to tell you about myself, friends. All of you will remember that I only took third prize for trotting at the London Horse Show I went to, and Master was rather troubled that I could not trot faster, though, of course, I think his standard is considered a very high one. One day, Master noticed that I sometimes got pacing, that is, moving with the legs of each side together, just like a camel or a retriever dog, as there is sometimes a class for pacers at some of the horse shows. Master thought he would teach me to pace, and I heard him say to Ricketts, "The elf is so good-looking that if she can learn to pace very fast, I think she would have a good chance of winning a prize." At first, whenever I struck a pace, I thought I was doing wrong and at once went back into trot. So, of course, the only way for Master to teach me to pace was to prevent me from being able to trot. Eventually, I had gotten the hang of it and quickly began to be able to go faster and faster. And when I naturally got up to my top speed trotting, I would glide into a pace nearly twice as fast. Master praised me a lot and encouraged me to pace as fast as ever I could. And I grew quite proud of my new achievement and held my tail very high and neighed in pleasure of my success to dear Master. I now know by the least indication from Master, by the slightest touch of the rein, whether I am supposed to pace, trot, or walk. And I am full of hope, if I ever get the chance, that I may win honor and success for Master and thus repay him for all his dear, patient teaching. One day, Master, who is writing a book on animal sculpture, made me pose as a bronco pony with the cowboy saddle and bridle. I simply hated having the sharp Mexican bit in my mouth. But, of course, Master never drove me in it, only put it into my mouth to model from. But it taught me what a very great difference the kind of bit used for a horse means to him. And now, humans, I think I have told you as much of my history and that of my friends as I can for the present. And so, I will make my final plea for my own brothers and sisters, the horses, which come into the pleasure and uses of life more than any other animal. Remember how you enjoy your canters on him, and how he loves to carry his precious human burden. He draws the carriage which takes you to your parties, theaters, and concerts. And here I want to draw special attention to the parties, where you have such happy, gay times, because at these, I think you are sometimes wanting in thought for the man and the horse waiting outside for you. Very often in the cold and wet, long past the hour at which you had told the coachman you will be ready to go home. Your horse will wait without a murmur of complaint, in order that you may reach home dry and warm. You might have spared him this unnecessary exposure if you had given a little more thought to your order, or had given a time, kept to it, even if it meant a small self-denial, a shortening of your little pleasure. Let the ruling powers of your life be kindness and love. These powers are everywhere, manifesting at the park, and there is not an animal about the place who would not join me in telling you, if they could speak the human language, that these powers make just all the difference in our lives. I tell you this, not from my experience, for I have always lived in the atmosphere of love, but many of my friends have come from other homes where this power has not been so prevalent, and they have told me of the great and wonderful difference it makes to them. And now, friends, I will say goodbye, for I have told you all I have to tell, and I hope you enjoyed reading about me and my friends as much as I have enjoyed telling you about us. Thank you for joining us on Sleep Stories for Equestrians. Relax and allow this gentle music carry you away to dreamland.